place in Romans chapter 14 and then flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Romans chapter 14 and flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hold your finger in both of those places. As we've come to Easter morning, Easter Sunday, really every Sunday we should celebrate the resurrected Christ. But today we've set this day aside to especially remember His resurrection. And as I was praying and seeking the Lord about the direction He'd have me to go, I could not get away from this thought. I'm preaching to you today on a truth that is real because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Many times you come to a church and you'll be encouraged, and there's a place for that. Many times you'll come to a church and you'll be challenged, and there's a place for that. Sometimes you come to church and you'll be convicted, and there's a place for that. And today it's probably going to lean towards the latter part, that you're going to be convicted. I know with this, my own heart has been convicted. And this is a reality because of the resurrection. It'll make sense as I travel along, okay? Ask God to speak to your heart. Look at Romans chapter 14, beginning in verse number 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. As it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we, talking to God's children, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. In Romans chapter 14 and also in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you have a phrase. It's the title of my message this morning. It's the phrase, the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. Now I know more than likely you didn't expect to hear a sermon on judgment today. But this is something the Lord has laid on my heart. And I want to say to this church that God has used this in my life this week. And I trust He'll use it in your life. If you're saved today, I'm speaking to you. Because this is the name of the judgment where every born-again child of God will give account of himself to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to preach on this subject to you today. Let's pray together. Father, bless now, I pray. May the will of God be done. Would you speak to our hearts? Would you take full control of my words, of my tongue, of my thoughts? And if there's anything in my heart and life that hinders you, would you please forgive me, remove it, get it out of my life? May there be nothing hindering you, and may the power of God rest upon me. May your hand be upon me. And as I preach, may it not be me, but may it be the words of the Holy Spirit of God. May you be the preacher. May you challenge us today. Change us, convict us. Thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is Easter Sunday. This is no doubt a day of victory where God's people celebrate the victorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. After 3 days and 3 nights in the grave, the Lord came out of the tomb alive forevermore. Bless His holy name. Because of His death, burial, and resurrection, we can have the exalted privilege to be a child of God and have our sins forgiven and removed as far as the east is from the west. And on this Easter morning, no doubt we could certainly dwell on that truth of how forgiveness is available to the world. By the way, it is available to the world because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. However, this week the Lord has focused my attention on something else that is a sobering truth because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because He lives, there is a truth that I want us to focus on. And that is, if you're saved today, there's a meeting for all of us who are in God's family that we have this life to prepare for. It's a meeting where we will come face to face with Jesus Christ. It is known as the judgment seat of Christ. And while God's children can certainly look forward to seeing the Lord in all of His glory, I look forward to seeing Jesus. We would do well to look soberly at this event that all of us will be in attendance at someday. Now, before I get to the main message about the judgment seat of Christ for God's children, for God's people, if you're saved, the whole message is about that, but the Lord just laid on my heart in the introduction that before I get to the judgment seat, let me pause here and say that if you're in this church service and you are not a child of God, you too have a judgment date with Almighty God. It is not the judgment seat where all of God's children go, but it's what the Bible calls the great white throne judgment, where all those who are lost will stand before an all-knowing, holy, holy God, and God will sentence them to the lake of fire away from His presence to suffer torment day and night forever and ever. See, all people have a date with God. Lost, go to the great white throne. Saved, go to the judgment seat of Christ. And guess what gives us assurance of this fact? Acts chapter 17, verse 31, listen to this. Because He, God, hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men. Assurance of what? Assurance that He's going to judge the world in righteousness. He's given assurance unto all men, get it, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. You know what that verse tells me? That because the grave is empty, I have a date with God. I will stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're lost, you will stand before Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment. And today I plead with you, if you're lost, even though the message is not for you, it's for Christians, I want to plead with you, if you've never trusted Christ, today is the day of salvation. At least know that you're going to the judgment seat of Christ and not the great white throne judgment. Now, let me get back to the main thought. The judgment seat of Christ is taken from the word bema. If you look it up, the word judgment seat of Christ, you'll notice the word B-E-M-A out beside of it in the original language. Back in this day that the Word of God was being written, an athletic arena had a huge platform known as the Bema Seat. This is where the winners would come to receive their crown for how they strove lawfully in that particular athletic event, and they crossed the finish line victorious. So as the Holy Spirit of God led the Apostle Paul to pen these words and use the word Bema Seat, he's painting a picture of God's children someday coming to the Bema Seat of Christ to see whether we will receive a reward or whether we will suffer loss. Now get this. This will be a judgment where all of God's children will give an account of our own lives to God. The Word of God says that we must give account of ourselves to God, of Himself to God. Now get this. It'll be a judgment not for sin. Somebody say amen right there. Because our sin was judged in Jesus Christ on the cross. But rather it'll be a judgment of our works, our deeds, in our bodies on this on planet Earth that we did for our Savior, whether they were good or whether they were bad. It's been said that this judgment seat of Christ will be a judgment of the deed, not the doer. The doer was judged in Christ. I'm saved forever. My sin will not be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. It was judged on Calvary. I will not stand judgment for my sin. But I will stand judgment with what I've done with so great salvation. Now stay with me here. This judgment is to determine whether I will receive rewards or whether I will suffer loss. Let us ask the Lord to speak to our hearts and challenge us to live in the reality of the judgment seat of Christ. so that one day we can have a good day on that day when we stand before our all-knowing Savior. Because He lives, we will stand before Him. And what a sobering truth this is. I found a story about a man standing on the street corner when a runaway team of horses, obviously many, many years ago, came rushing down the street. This man was oblivious of this runaway team of horses and leaped out on the street and was about to be crushed beneath their feet when a man grabbed him and pulled him back to the walk and saved his life. That man who was pulled to safety, in other words, he would have been killed that night, that man, that same night, went out and committed some kind of a crime and was arrested. The next day, the next morning, he was about to be sentenced in a courtroom. But when he looked up and saw the judge, he noticed something about the judge. He recognized him. It was the man who pulled him to safety just the night before. And this man said, "Wait a minute, judge, you know me. You saved me last night." And the judge looked at this man, and with a stern voice, he said, "Last night, sir, I was your savior. But at this moment, I'm your judge." It is a wonderful thing to be able to call Jesus Christ my savior. But it is a sobering truth to realize one day at the judgment seat, He will be my judge. I'm not preaching at you today. Matter of fact, we see in this passage of Scripture, get your eyes off everybody else. Why do you set at naught your brother? Why do you criticize your brother? For we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This message is not for your neighbor. This message is for you and for me. Daniel Webster said, "My greatest thought is my accountability to God." May this message be used by God to so stir our hearts unto good works so that one day we can hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." May this message be used to stir our hearts that we may receive rewards. And I'll show you later what we do with those rewards. Let me give you three simple things about the judgment seat of Christ. Are you ready? Number one, this day of the judgment seat of Christ, number one, is an inescapable day. In Romans chapter 14, verse 10 and 12, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, you'll notice in these verses, you'll read these phrases, "We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." In those verses, you'll also find every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You'll also find in those verses, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We shall all stand. We shall give account. We must all appear. In all the language of Scripture and all these phrases, a central truth comes through. And that central truth is that all of God's children will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will give account of ourselves to God. We will not stand and give account for somebody else. Leave that to God. But we will stand and give account of ourselves. This is a meeting that every child will be in attendance at. There'll be no avoiding it. There'll be no denying it. There'll be no ignoring it, no rescheduling it, no postponing it, no getting out of it. If you're a child of God, you will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So will I. It's an inescapable day. Number two, it's an imminent day. The word imminent means it can happen at any moment. Because let me show you something. Someone may be wondering, when will this judgment take place? Has some already stood before the judgment seat of Christ? No, they have not. It has not taken place. It's in the future. Here's what the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 4, 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. What time? Here it is. Until the Lord come. Until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Somebody may be wondering, when will this judgment take place? The Bible answer to this question is when Jesus Christ comes back again. And all we know is that it could happen at any moment. We do not know if it's going to happen today, tomorrow, or 100 years from now, but we know one thing, it is an imminent time. It can happen at any moment because the Word of God says that it's going to come in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Matthew 16:27, the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. Revelation 22:12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. The judgment will take place after the rapture of the church, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to take us home. Question. When will that take place? When is that going to happen? Just like I quoted before, 1 Corinthians 15:52, the Word of God says it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The fact of the matter is, we do not know when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back in the clouds, but we know it can happen in a moment. It can happen in the twinkling of an eye. This means the judgment seat of Christ is imminent. That means it's getting closer. It's getting closer. It's getting closer. You can't get out of it. You can't postpone it. You can't reschedule it. You can't just not show up to it. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Here's one thing I know. Let me show you how smart I am. You ready to learn how smart your pastor is? Here it is. It's closer now than when I began the message. I'm smart, aren't I? It's closer now than it was yesterday. And it's closer right now than when I just said what I just said. You can't stop it. It's coming, my friends. It could be today. It's imminent. Are you listening to me? If we let this truth grab our heart, it'll change our life. My wife and I were traveling to a meeting in Florida many years ago. I've told the church this. Some of you remember this, and if I stay here as long as Preacher Lashley did, you're going to hear it umpteen more times, I'm sure. Have you ever been driving and it's not raining here, but right in front of you there's a monsoon, there's a terrible storm right in front of you? Well, you know, if you're a good man, you don't pull off the road unless it's a life and death situation, okay? Our car was dry this many years ago, but right in front of us, I mean, we were heading right at it. Right in front of us, there was a major storm. Terrible, black, darkness, rain. And as we were coming this way, the storm was moving towards us. It was like this. And there, I mean, just in a moment, that rain hit our windshield, pow! And it was so bad that I had to pull off. Now, you know that's a bad thing, right? That's the point I'm trying to get across. It's an imminent day. It means as you're going this way, it's coming this way, and you don't know until it hits you right between the eyes. The Word of God says, at an hour that you think not, the Son of Man's coming. Number one, it's an inescapable day. Number two, it's an imminent day. But number three, here's the main message. It's an inspection day. And I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Would you do that? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to help you today. You know what I'm trying to do as your pastor? I'm trying to help you prepare for a good judgment day. I'm trying to help you get ready for the judgment seat of Christ. I want to be ready for it. And I want you to be ready for it. Now we've come to the main thought of the message. It shows what this day is all about. I remind us this morning that it's not a day of judgment for sin. For that's already been judged in Jesus Christ. By the way, that's enough to shout about from now until eternity rolls around. Rather, it's a judgment of our works done in our bodies. Now get this now. While on this earth, to determine if we will receive rewards from the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be an inspection day. It's going to be a day when Jesus Christ will reveal and manifest what kind of works we have on earth. In order to help our understanding of this, I want you to read with me here. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and look at verse number 9. Now I'm going to read these verses and I'm going to summarize them, okay? For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. You are God's building. I am God's building, okay? According to the grace of God, which is given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another man buildeth thereon. Every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now he's talking to Christians. The foundation of your building is Jesus Christ. Amen. The foundation is Christ. It'll never crumble. You're going to make it, okay? The foundation is strong. It's sure. It's steadfast. It's secure. I mean, you just name it. Your foundation is Christ. Notice verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. This is where I get inspection. Shall be inspected, made manifest. For the days shall declare it, shall make it known, in other words, because it shall be revealed by fire. By the way, what does the Word of God call our God? Our God is a consuming fire. In the book of the Revelation, when John saw the Lord, he had eyes as a flame of fire. It's going to be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work. Notice this now, of what? What's that next word? Sort. Does it say size? No, it says sort. God's not going to try our works for what size they are, but he will try them for what sort they are. Are they gold? Are they silver? Are they precious stones? Or are they wood, hay, and stubble that when God strikes a match, will it last? Will there be anything left? Try every man's work of what sort it was. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. He himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. He doesn't lose his salvation. What's he lose? What's the loss he suffers? His loss of reward. His loss of having something given to him to say, you made it. You did well. You came across the finish line victorious. Look at chapter 4, verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. Notice this now. What's he going to inspect? What's he going to reveal? What's he going to manifest? Who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. You know, there are people, they're even God's children, who think they're getting away with things. They do things in secret, hidden things. And they think nobody knows. Nobody will ever find this out. They've lost sight of the judgment seat of Christ. Because the fire is going to reveal the hidden things. Not only the hidden things, but notice that the counsels of the heart, you know what that means? Why you do what you do. Your motives. What's in your heart. How are you thinking inside? You're saying, does God know what's in my heart? Yes, he knows everything in your heart. And on this day, the fire will reveal it. The fire will reveal it. God knows. Get this, friends. These verses tell us that we are God's building. The foundation is Jesus Christ. And every man builds his life on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are using one of two kinds of materials. You're either using perishable materials to the fire, like wood, hay, and stubble. Or you're using non-perishable materials, like gold, silver, and precious stone. And on the day of judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, every man's work shall be made manifest by revealing by fire. That will try every man's work of what sort it is. Again, notice it's what sort, not size. Any man's work that abides the fire. In other words, the fire is burning. It's trying to try it. And if anything's left, that person will get some rewards. But if that person's work just burn up because it was wood, hay, or stubble, then they will suffer loss. Even the Word of God says that He's going to bring the light hidden things, the counsels of the heart. I don't even know what all that means. But it's enough to make me think and help me to be motivated that there's nothing secret in my life that shouldn't be there. Amen. And it's enough in my heart to realize that what's in my heart matters to God. Do you understand I could pastor this church from now until Jesus comes and lose my reward? Because in my heart my motive was wrong. If I do this out of pride, out of spite, out of anything other than a pure motive, my reward is gone. It'll burn up just like that. I want some rewards on that day, don't you? And the fire of God will inspect us. He's going to try our works. Ecclesiastes 12:14, God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God knows all things. He knows our motives. He knows our desires. He knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. And it will be made manifest on that day. On this day, God will see His children as we really are. Our motives, our desires, our reasons for serving. On that day, God, get it now, He's going to strike a match to see if our works will abide. It's God's final instruction. It's final exam day. It's it. And He's given you the test now. You are going to pass or fail depending on what you do with the salvation God has given you. Yes, you will not stand judgment for your sin. Glory to God, I'll not be judged for my sin. But I will be judged for how I build upon Jesus Christ. I will be judged if I use wood, hay, and stubble. And I will suffer loss of rewards. And if my life, my materials abide because they were gold, silver, precious stone, the Word of God says, I'll receive a reward. May I say this to you, for God's children, many on that day will suffer loss. Loss of reward, not salvation. The Word of God makes that very plain. Not yet he'll be saved so as by fire. It's not his salvation he loses. His reward's what he loses. It'll be a sad day for many of God's children. But oh, what a day it will be for those who are using gold, silver, and precious stone. Those who are serving Christ out of a pure motive. Building out of imperishable materials. Because within the pages of God's Word, the Bible teaches about certain rewards that you can be given. I just want to dwell on five of these. There are five crowns that you and I can receive someday for the glory of God. These five crowns have been said to take care of the essential things in life. You say, how can I prepare for the judgment seat? Do your best to earn these five crowns. With a right heart, right motive, right spirit. And I want to just mention these to you. You don't need to turn with me, but let me turn for time's sake, and I'm going to mention them to you. First of all is the incorruptible crown. The incorruptible crown. This is found in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. Listen to this. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. There it is, an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others I myself should be a castaway. What is this incorruptible crown? It's a crown for the mastery of the old life. It's a crown where the Apostle Paul said, here's how I get it. I keep my body under. And I bring my body into subjection. I'm not a slave to my body. My body's a slave to me. What's the incorruptible crown? You know, after you trusted Christ as your Savior, that the battle got fierce, didn't it? You know what the old man wants? It's way. If it smells good, I want it. If it feels good, do it. Tastes good, do it. Just go ahead and do it. Hey, here's the thing. If you do not master the old life through the power of the Holy Spirit now, and you just serve your body instead of use your body to serve Christ, you will not receive this crown. That's enough that the next time your flesh starts saying, give in, give in, give in, give in, you say no to the glory of God. Because you're working for a good payday someday, a good reward system. By the way, I'm going somewhere with these crowns. Stay tuned. The incorruptible crown. Number two, you see the crown of rejoicing. This is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 19. Here's what it says. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? There it is. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? You know what the crown of rejoicing is? It's the soul winner's crown. It's the crown for winning people to Christ. That's what it is. Those who win people to the Lord Jesus Christ will and do it with the right motive, with the right heart. You're doing it for God's glory, not your own. You understand? You can even build that with wood, hay, and stubble. You follow me where I'm going. The right motive, the right spirit. You're winning people to Christ. You're sharing your faith with a good heart, with a godly heart, with a pure, clean heart. Your motive is because you love Jesus and you just want the world to be saved. You do that, and when the fire is struck and that work is burned to be inspected, there's going to be gold, silver, precious stones left. God's going to give you the crown of rejoicing. There's a story about a man by the name of John Vassar. He was witnessing in a New York hotel lobby to a lady. After he walked away, the woman's husband came, and the woman was crying, and her husband asked her who that man was. The husband wanted to know who he was, and she said, "He is such and such. He's talking to me about my soul, how I need to be saved so I can live with God in eternity." The husband said, "You're crying. Why don't you just tell him to mind his business?" She said, "If you'd have been here, you'd have known he was minding his business." You know, it's time that the business of winning souls becomes the business of every Christian's heart. God's business is to be our business. And His business is the winning of people to Jesus Christ. Would you get that crown? Crown of rejoicing? Incorruptible crown? Number three, 2 Timothy 4:8, the crown of righteousness. I'm not even going to read these verses. I'm just going to give them to you. But 2 Timothy 4:8, the crown of righteousness. This is a crown given for loving Christ appearing. What's that mean? Somebody says, I love Christ appearing. Really? There was a preacher, Dr. Clarence Sexton. He said when he was younger in life, I'm paraphrasing this story, his mama told him to clean the house and she was gone. He was expecting her at a certain time. So he kind of put clean the house off because he was going to get it done before she came home. But he got a phone call and said, "Where are you, son?" He said, "I'm such and such." He said, "Where are you?" She said, "I'm at home. Come here." And he basically said, "I was a captain of the football team in high school, but I was afraid of my mama." And he said this, here's the point. He said, "I didn't love her appearing that day because I wasn't ready for it." You can't love Christ appearing and be living your own life your own way. You know what it means to love Christ appearing? You can't wait. "Come on, come today. I'm ready. Come get me." You can't do that and be living your own life. Are you loving Christ appearing? Are you ready for His appearing? Can you not wait till He comes? Are you living in such a way that you say, "I love this. I'm waiting for you. Come on." That's the crown of righteousness. Number four is the crown of life. James chapter 1 verse 12. These crowns deserve a whole sermon. That's why I'm just mentioning them here. If God leads me to preach on them later, I'll do that. But I'm just mentioning them to you. The crown of life is in James 1:12 and Revelation 2 verse 10. And when you read these verses, this seems to be a crown for enduring trials, for going through trials even unto death. You read those verses, James 1:12, Revelation 2:10, put them together, the crown of life, that you endure trials even if it means death. I'm not sure what all this means, but when we go through trials, let us endure. Let us endure them well for the glory of God and be found faithful even if it means death. We have watched precious people from this church that I believe will receive that crown right there, because they are now with Jesus. But when they were suffering, they endured it well. So if you're hurting today, stop complaining. Easy to do that, I know. But stop complaining, stop murmuring. Because could it be that God has allowed a trial in your life because He wants to give you a crown in the future? Fifth and finally, you see the crown of glory, 1 Peter 5, verse 4. This crown seems to be a crown for pastors, for bishops. But you know, there's debate with this. So I'm just going to throw this out. It's possible that this crown may be given to others for just faithfully feeding people the Word of God. Just faithfully feeding people the Word of God. I want that crown. While more could be said about these crowns, let us live in such a way that we do not suffer loss at the judgment seat of Christ, but that we receive rewards. Now, I told you I was going somewhere with this. The reason we should be motivated to receive rewards is because of what the Word of God says will happen with those rewards. Those crowns will not be given so you can put five crowns stacked on top of your own head and walk around heaven like this. Say, look what I did! Look what I did! Look what I did! No. Let me tell you what happens with those crowns. Revelation chapter 4 verses 9 through 11 says, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne and liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him, sat on the throne, and worship Him that liveth forever and ever. Get this. And cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. We should strive to receive these rewards, to have gold, silver, precious stone in our heart, in our mind, in our works, building that upon the Lord Jesus Christ, getting our eyes off of others and stop criticizing one another and keep our eyes on the judgment seat of Christ, working for these crowns, for these rewards. Because if you have them, this is probably about the size of mine anyway, right here anyway, and He gives you crowns, it's not going to be, look at me, look at me, look how good I've done. No. It's going to be, you're going to see the Lord sitting on the throne. And we're going to fall before Him. And we'll cast our crowns at His feet, saying, I'm not worthy. Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and blessing. I can't do this. It's a testament and a testimony to Your grace in my life. Don't you want to have something to cast at His feet, friends? Don't you want to have something to cast at the feet of Jesus? Oh, how terrible it would be to be a child of God, empty-handed, and when everybody's casting their crown saying thank you, you have nothing but burnt ashes lying at your knees because the way you built on Him was wood, hay, stubble. 2 John verse 8 says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. That's what the Word of God says. Revelation 3:11, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. When I stand at the judgment seat of Christ and he shows me his plan for me, the plan of my life as it might have been had he had his way, and I see how I blocked him here and checked him there and I would not yield my will, shall I see grief in my Savior's eyes, grief, though he still loves me still? Oh, he'd have me rich and I stand there poor, stripped of all but his grace, while my memory runs like a hunted thing down the paths I cannot retrace. Then my desolate heart will nigh break with tears that I cannot shed. I'll cover my face with my empty hands and bow my uncrowned head. No, Lord of the years that are left to me, I yield them to thy hand. Take me, make me, mold me to the pattern that thou hast planned. Realizing the truth of personally standing before Jesus Christ has got a hold of my life. It's got a hold of my heart. And our eyes should be off of other people and on to ourselves. Romans 14, 12 and 13 says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. He's saying, stop judging each other. And if you're putting a stumbling block out, get it out of the way. Think about yourself. You have a date with God. On the other hand, if somebody else starts begrudging us, starts judging us, starts criticizing us, let us leave it in the hands of God. You don't have to fight everybody that comes down the pike. Let God fight your battles. George Whitefield was criticized. By the way, this church was established because Shubal Stearns was reached under George Whitefield, and Titus Lane was reached under Shubal Stearns, and Buffalo Ridge is here because Titus Lane established the church back in 1779. George Whitefield was criticized. He had many enemies and critics, but here's what he said. I'll leave that to the judgment seat of Christ. May we learn that. Child of God, I'm about done. I've spit all over this pulpit today. We have a date with Jesus Christ. It's the judgment seat of Christ. Are we ready for God to strike the match? Are you ready for the fire of God's judgment? One day, the fire will try your works. It will mine too. And may our motive be, God, I want some crowns, not for me, but so I have something to cast at your feet. Are you ready for the judgment seat of Christ? 1 John 2:28 says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Are you ready for the judgment seat of Christ? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your goodness to us. Your mercy and grace challenge us, change us, convict us. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. We're preparing for the invitation time. I wonder today, do you know that you're a child of God? Do you know that you're saved? I know I preached on the judgment seat of Christ today, but let me dwell on the great white throne judgment. Do you know without a doubt you're a born-again child of God? Hey, Christian, we need to be right with God, building with imperishable materials, yes. But oh, how terrible it would be to go to the great white throne and hear this loving God say, depart from me, I never knew you. Are you saved? Are you born again? Do you know the Lord? Have you know you're saved? You know that you're born again. You don't hope so. You don't think so. You know so. You've trusted Christ and Christ alone. And you know you've done that. You've made that decision. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. Thank you. If you could not raise your hand, thank you for being honest. And if you could not raise your hand, you are among friends. We love you. But we don't love you anything like God does. The Lord loved you so much He died for you. If you're here today and you say, Jody, I cannot say that I'm saved. I can't say that that's happened to me. But boy, I have a desire to. I cannot say that I'm saved, that I'm going to heaven, but I desire to. I really do. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for anything on planet Earth. As she begins to play through softly, if you say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian, but I'd like to get that settled. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Just put it up, put it right back down. Anybody like that? You say, pray for me. I cannot say I'm a Christian. God bless you. Thank you. Somebody else, put your hand up, put it right back down. You say, I cannot say I'm a Christian, but I want to. I desire to. I really do. Now, if you raise your hand to that, we're going to have what we call an invitation. And just speaking to you, it's just me and you. It would be so great tonight to be able to put your head on your pillow and have peace. Agree? Yes. This is something that we cannot force you to do. We're not trying to do that. Please see our heart in this. But if you would come in just a moment, you can bring whoever's with you, if that makes you more comfortable. We'll put a lady with you. She's just going to take a Bible and show you how you can get this decision settled. And I hope you'll make this decision today. Have you say, Jody, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. Let me go ahead and dismiss those that are being baptized, please. Just have a couple today. We're just about through. Have you say, Jody, I'm a Christian. God is speaking to my heart about the judgment seat of Christ. It could mean that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and the Lord's just saying, keep going. Or it could be that God's convicting you about this and you say, pray for me. God is speaking to my heart about the judgment seat of Christ. Be honest. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Be honest with me now. Put it up big and high. Big and high. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. I want to invite you to come. And let me encourage you to do this because that helps those who are lost to come. If they see somebody else responding first, they may come. Help them to make the right decision. Let's all stand together, please, shall we? Father, bless this. Use it in a mighty way. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be faithful to you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to have Brother Gary begin to sing. And if you need to be saved, you come. If you want to come as a Christian because God's spoken to your heart, you come. As he sings, you come now. Would you do it, please? Please. Now's your time. Now's your time. Now's your time. Christian, are you going to have some crowns to cast at his feet? How's your motive? Why are you doing what you're doing? Will it withstand the fire of God? See, we can fool everybody, but we can't fool God, can we? May our motives be pure. May we build with gold, silver, and precious stone. May the Lord help us with this. Give people time.
invitation's still open. Folks are coming. You don't want to get in a hurry here. If God has spoken to you, you need to respond. Now's your time. You may be seated. Let me give you two or three announcements. We'll have the offering and the baptismal service. The cancer ministry meeting that was scheduled for tonight has been postponed until next Sunday night. If you are a Sunday school worker, very, very important meeting for you this Wednesday night at 6:30. Make sure you're in attendance. The teen family recharge is this weekend coming up. And if you're involved with that, hopefully you've already signed up. If you haven't, please sign up today so Brother Bob will have a good count. And then finally, April 20th through the 24th, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Sunday, our missions conference, our Faith Promise Sunday, a crucial day in our church. And I encourage you, or really crucial days, to clear your schedule. We schedule all kinds of things, and folks, just clear up your schedule for that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so you can be here. We'll try to keep the service every night till about an hour. We won't keep you long, but you'll be seeing some of our missionaries, hearing them, seeing what God is doing in their lives. And then Jimmy Rose will be preaching on Sunday, and we'll have our Faith Promise Sunday, be praying about what God would have you do for missions for next year. This is a crucial time. I hope you'll make plans to be here every night for our missions conference. Gentlemen, you come, we'll receive the offering this morning. Lord, we do thank you for this wonderful day as we think about the resurrection of Christ. Lord, we know that that gives us some great opportunities, some great truths, things that can change our lives, but it also gives us a great responsibility. Help us, Lord, we pray, to live for you, to make our life count every day, we pray. Pray for these being baptized, that you would bless them, that indeed they would walk in newness of life. And Lord, bless this offering, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
it's a blessing to be able to baptize a brother and sister today. This is a precious family. Well, all except for the daddy. I'm kidding. That's a joke. Amen. There he is. Yes. He raised his hand. That's good. He agreed with what I said, you know. And it is a blessing for this family just to watch him grow in the Lord. It does my heart good. This is Amadeus and Ariana Hummer. And I'm going to go ahead and baptize Amadeus first. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my little brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. That's all right. That's okay with me. This is Ariana Hummer. Realize you can't see me anymore, but anyway. She started bending her knees there. Bless her heart. Yes. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. God bless you. God bless you. It's been done as the Lord Jesus Christ had clearly commanded, and all God's people said.
Amen.
Let me give you a couple of names here. Alexis Tipton. Alexis, if you'll stand there, please. And Joshua Green, if you'll stand. Brother Edwards, if you'll stand with them. These are two of our precious children who are coming today. One of them's 9 and one of them is in 5th grade. And they are accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is that true? That is so pleasing to us. We're so thrilled about this. I want you to listen to this. If you're happy that they trusted Christ, would you say a big amen, please? We're excited for you. That is a blessing. Praise the Lord. Brother Edwards, if you'll go ahead and be dismissed with them so they don't get hung up with all the adults here, that'll be good. Be back tonight, 6:30. Have you all have a big Sunday dinner planned? Would you raise your hand? I'm looking for somewhere to go, so if y'all, I'm kidding with you. Amen. Brother Gosshorn, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer, and we'll be back tonight at 6:30. God bless you, sir.